Tucson, welcome back to the Creative City Show here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Thank you for listening, hanging out with us on 1030 The Voice every day, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., as we talk about the stories and strategies of people and ideas shaping Tucson's future. And along the way, we envision, debate, and discuss the issues and themes necessary to reaching our best possible future. And a huge part of that is engaging together here on the air. 790-2040 is your front door key to our live line, to our conversation each and every day. Certainly as we discuss innovation and entrepreneurship and tech and startups in Tucson, I am with a guest in the studio today, Tony Ford, the CEO of Magnitude. We'll get into that. But also one of the leading catalysts in Tucson around the startup and innovation and tech space in the city. I even stumbled upon the other day a picture of shaven
without a beard.
Tony Ford without a beard. Young Tony Ford back in the day when you were speaking things out into the Tucson air before they even happened. So with all respect, I really appreciate what you've been talking about and leading and pushing in our city before really it even existed. And a lot of it now does, and I think you have a huge part of that. So,
thanks, Zach. I appreciate you having me down, too. Yeah. It's always great to be on the show.
Yeah. Well, like I say with a few of my guests in this specific area, it's fun doing radio with a radio guy.
Yeah, it's a lot easier.
It's a lot easier, you know. I was talking to somebody about my interview with Dan Gibson the other day. I had Dan Gibson on a couple of weeks ago. And I said, people like Dan Gibson and Tony Ford make it easy because you come in with two questions. And you ask them two questions, and you got an hour's worth of content.
We'll fill the rest of it. Sure.
You got an hour's worth of content, so it's a fun time. I'm looking forward to it. We're gonna start kind of micro and talk about businesses and startups and technology, and then kind of zoom back probably in the second segment and talk about the overall ecosystem and what you see are successes. And what you see are also challenges, because you're also one of the leaders of the Founders Institute chapter here in Tucson, supporting founders specifically in their journey towards startup success. So,
I think they tie together well. The truth is that a lot of the work I've done with startups over the years, starting off with Startup Tucson and working with Justin Williams and working with that organization, and then continuing with Founder Institute, plus just some of the work I do on my own, has been really focused. It comes back to some central tenets. And those tend to be that founders, the people who want to create companies, we have a slight problem in Tucson that's a cultural problem, in that founders tend to be very much solo here.
Yeah.
I have this great idea. And I want to go build it, and I don't want to give up any piece of it. And the questions that come up are, well, how do I keep investors from taking control of my company? How do I, you know, when in fact the question should be, how can I retire on 2% of my company? Because that, if you're in a mindset of scarcity, which Tucson has, it has a scare. I think it's because of water. I honestly think it's because of old cattle wars and water, right?
Huh.
Like the whole mindset of Tucson is we have to conserve, because we may not have the resources, right? And I think it goes way back to our original founding.
Interesting.
And that it has to do with the scarcity of resources in a state. And if we look at that, that scarcity mindset is, I don't want to give up equity. I don't want to give up control. I don't want to, you know, I'm hesitant to tell people about this idea. They might steal it. It's very scarcity focused. And it's absolutely the opposite direction of what you need to do to be successful.
Right.
You should be finding three other people who love your idea so much that they want a piece of it and invite them in as founders if they're good. Because if you don't have, just to start with, if you don't have four or five people who will stand back to back and fight this out, you can't win.
Hmm.
We talk about Bill Gates. We talk about, you know, Mark Zuckerberg. We talk about Jeff Bezos. Like somehow they forged these businesses on their own from nothing. And it's a great story, but it's a lie. They built those things with teams.
In a garage most of the time.
Right. But they had a team, and they built the team rapidly, and they gave up huge pieces of the business
yep.
to get there.
Yep.
And that's what it takes to scale to anything mm-hmm. with any real impact.
Yeah. And I don't think that's a startup or founder mentality in Tucson specifically. I think that, like you said, that's a Tucson mentality. You know,
yeah.
I was talking to somebody the other, yesterday, in fact, it was actually on Chris's show. I was on the last hour of Chris's show. And he said, what's one thing that's encouraging you about Tucson's direction? I said, I'm in rooms where people are talking about collaboration instead of having to own the entire pie.
Yeah.
And who knows how long that'll last. But in Tucson, right. that's not the usual conversation.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to own the pie, own all of it, do it all in-house, not collaborate.
Yeah.
Resources are scarce. Got to do it all. And it kills us.
I think it's cyclical, too, in the economy here. If you look back at the last recession, we rely so much on federal dollars in this community. If you add in the University of Arizona and the Air Force Base and the contractors and companies like Raytheon, Border Patrol, law enforcement, you add all that together as a piece of the Tucson economy, and then you do you do a 10% across the board cut like they did coming out of the last recession. Everywhere else in the country came out of the recession faster than we did because we're still at that federal dollar, a huge ratio of our economy still federal dollars, right? And so until that was overturned, that budget was overturned, we didn't start feeling the boom of the economic recovery. And so right now everybody's very collaborative because it's very positive, right? The economic recovery is happening.
You are right.
And so everybody's very, let's work together. There's plenty of pie for everybody. But I'll be interested to see during the next cycle if we revert to there's not enough pie for even me, right? And so part of the thing we can do now is while the rest of the country is booming as well is continue to build companies that don't just serve Tucson. They can be based in Tucson. They can create in Tucson. They can manufacture in Tucson. They can build. They can develop. They can do all those things in Tucson. But we need to be, it's a global economy. And so we've got to be involved in the rest of the country and the rest of the globe.
Right.
So that we're not just hooked on the federal dollars in influx into this city.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I know we'll cover this a little bit, maybe more in detail later, but how do we do that? There's something I think that you kind of mentioned because you're in business development.
Mm-hmm.
And you said there's so many smart people and smart ideas that would succeed if they just got out of their own way.
Yeah.
What does that mean? How do you see that applied on a ground level?
I run into this all the time in Tucson. There are brilliant people in this city because of the university, because, you know, we have more engineers in Pima County per capita than their county in the state of Arizona. And it's because of places like Raytheon and Ventana. We have all these really talented minds who come up with really unique products. And they all think that because they are incredibly intelligent and driven and capable individuals in their field of specialty, that they can do all the rest of the business too. And they're so wrong most of the time. And so you have someone who might be, say, a brilliant optical scientist who's developed something that's incredibly, has a huge potential for use in the space program. But because they don't bring in business partners, because they don't give up equity, because they don't find investors they don't have somebody who can even get them to investors. They'll go and they'll pitch to investors and they'll pitch in a very highly technical way because they're very intelligent and driven and capable in their field of expertise, like it's an academic pitch, and they'll never get the money to go anywhere. And so I watch brilliant idea after brilliant idea die on the vine in Tucson because somebody is trying to hold everything and do it themselves.
Right.
And it's that's okay. It just won't go anywhere.
Right.
Most of the time. Product people believe once they've invented the perfect product that everything else will solve itself. And it just isn't the case.
Mm-hmm.
So we need more business people who understand business, who understand the needs of a growing company. And we need more founders who are willing to partner and let people participate and economically incentivize people to drive their idea forward in the market.
Right. What are some ways, maybe through the Founders Institute or through some of your work with businesses in the community, what are some ways that you found to kind of break through that mentality? Or what are some success stories or ways that you've seen that mentality broken, more of kind of a big sky view of things and seeing success out of that?
So Founder Institute has it built into the system. There's an equity collective. And so in order to graduate from that program, you create a corporation and you give warrants to other people in the program, as well as the leaders and the mentors and the Founder Institute. So you're giving 4% warrants in your company, not equity yet, warrants, the ability to buy equity in the future. at a set strike price. So in order to graduate the program, you will have created a company and given warrants to the Founder Institute, to the local leadership, and split up 1% among the mentors and split up 1% warrants among all of the other participants who graduate with you. So everybody now owns a piece of everybody else's company via a warrant. So if one of the companies that graduates does really well, everybody gets a little taste of that, right? And those warrants don't give anybody voting rights or anything like that. They don't have control, but it's the ability, if the company ever is worth $1 million, to purchase those 4% at any point going forward for the next 15 years. Because the life cycle of startups, 7 to 10 years usually, mm-hmm. they'll exit. So that, I mean, that's the whole point, is to have a profit alignment that is greater than yourself, that incentivizes people to push your company forward.
Right.
So it builds into the culture. Locally, on my end of things, when I do work with clients, it depends on the client. I have a group of clients who are just a straight cash client. That's what they pay. I have a group of clients who are a participation client in profit sharing of some kind, and that's a select group. I have to look at and see that there's a lot of opportunity there, and that, you know, that we're going to be able to drive the business for them. And there's a very, very small group of people that we actually partner with. We'll put money and time into to take that business to market. It's less than 1%.
Mm-hmm.
So about 0.5% of the companies we talk to.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I want to start pivoting towards the big picture in Tucson, and this kind of fits into it as well. I had Mara Aspinall from Bluestone Venture Partners mm-hmm. on a week and a half ago, maybe.
Yeah.
It was my first real conversation with her. She's brilliant.
She's great.
Great asset yeah. in the community. I loved my conversation with her. I asked her, I said, does Tucson have an ideas problem or a money problem, in the sense of, do we have great ideas that don't have finances to grow them, or do we have enough finances but not enough great ideas to invest into? I'll wait to tell you what she told me.
Sure.
But what would be your answer to that question?
I think it's more complex than that.
No.
It is.
No.
But I mean, I know it's easy to set up as a kind of a false dichotomy.
You just busted my bubble.
Sorry. But the truth is, we have
whoever said keep it simple, stupid
right,
was
right.
wrong.
They were wrong. Let's just take the idea section of it, and we're going to try to break that down a little bit. So there's a lot of good ideas
okay.
that people are not pursuing anywhere close to money because they just don't get the help to get there, right? They don't have anybody who knows how to even take them to money, right? And they're never going to raise money on their own because they don't even know how to go about it. We have a bunch of ideas that are not that good. Lots and lots of them are just not that good. Or they seem really good until you do some competitive research and find out 20 other people are already doing it. And the number of times that happens with startups that I'm working with is really high. People say, I've got this brilliant idea. You're not alone. Everybody else is out there thinking about these things at the same time. And when it comes to money, we have money locally for the angels stage, the seed stage, maybe even early round A. But we need lots of capital to grow highly scaling technology-enabled startups.
Yep.
So an example in town is Vector Space.
Mm-hmm.
Vector Space, Jim Cantrell, he is a driven individual. He's got a great team behind him. Alex Rodriguez is over there, used to be with the Tech Council, is now driving for them. I have a very strong feeling that company is going to be one of the unicorns that comes out of Tucson.
Really?
They're on track to do that. They're going to revolutionize the you know, launch of smaller satellites. And that's going to happen in the next 5, 6, 7, 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
But Jim Cantrell comes from a world of Silicon Valley. Jim Cantrell has a Rolodex that he can make phone calls and get people to bring in additional capital from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Not only is he talented and capable and driven and pull the right team in and is making all of his team economically aligned with his success, which are all requirements, and not only does he have great ideas and his team has great technology, but he also has the connection to money outside of Tucson. Now, local Tucson money is invested in Vector Space. I know the Desert Angels are invested in mm-hmm. Vector Space, right? Lots of local people are, but it takes more than just that.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about, do we have ideas or money? If we want to have big, successful companies that hire lots of people and transform our economy, we need the great ideas, and we need to economically align a bunch of people to push on them. And then we need both local money and lots of outside money.
Mm-hmm.
We do not have enough capital in this market to drive the truly disruptive companies that we need if we want to drive jobs in Tucson.
Right. This is my personal opinion. I won't push you to chime in on it because it's my opinion, and it might be just left being my opinion, and you don't want to get into it, and that's fine. I often feel like a lot of local money doesn't stay local, though. I think that I would like to see more local money stay local versus even just regional. And by local, I mean Southern Arizona. And that also brings a different perspective on it. Is it ideas or money? Is the money not staying as local as I think it could be because the ideas just aren't as good yet? Or do we need to have a bigger conversation around keeping money more local in a focused way? Again, I'm giving you I know that's a sensitive conversation.
No, it's not. I think it's totally fair. But I think you also have to deal with it has to be smart money. So the people who are going to invest in, going back to Vector as an example, have to have some idea of the commercial space industry. They have to have some level of comfort with the risks and the regulation. And, you know, so, you know, if you're asking, your local surgeon, doctor, lawyer who might be in an angel group to invest, they're not going to know anything except for their own area of specialty. And so their only chance is to diversify in a bunch of different industries, and that means they're going to be in a bunch of different places geographically. But if I want people who are only going to invest in, say, optics, there's a lot of optics people in Tucson.
Yeah.
There are even some high net worth optics people in Tucson, right? So I can get more of that. But if I shifted that completely to, say, water desalination, you would think that'd be big in Tucson. But it's not. I'd probably be looking for money in Israel. I'd probably be looking for money in the EU, right? Folks around the world who have a lot of knowledge about that and capital and understand the risks of that industry.
Right. Well, what do you think about the model that is what it seems like to me, like Bluestone Venture Partners is set up as, where it is a venture fund run by somebody who knows the industry. They can pool money together from investors who have money, but they don't have the sector experience or the sector expertise. But, you know, Mara and her team, for example, have that expertise and can pilot the money where it needs to go and how it needs to go with the trust of the investors. It's kind of having those venture capital funds where there's kind of a sector expertise middle person. Is that a way to kind of mitigate what you're talking about, at least in the near term?
It helps. But in that case, then Mara has a fiduciary duty to her investors to find the very best deals anywhere.
And that's specifically what her... So what you're saying is those
Yeah.
That you have to own that fiduciary responsibility.
Yep.
She is doing a great job at it, but you're saying that's not for everybody.
Right. I mean, what I'm saying is that there's no point in that scenario really where someone says, and the number one driving factor is keeping the money in Tucson. I think you would have a hard time, you know, it's the same reason the city of Tucson doesn't have a local advantage for any contractor. If there's two people bidding on a contract and one says, hey, I was a Tucson company, you're going to employ people in Tucson. The other one says, yeah, we're out of Ohio. There's absolutely no advantage for being a Tucson company. And I think that actually is a legal issue, right? So, if you think about those kind of situations, we would love to have local money invested in Tucson that is successes. But investors have to also kind of look out that they're in it to make a return and to mitigate the risk of loss. And so they have to broaden their, I don't blame investors for that. That's what I would do as an investor. It's what I do as an investor. I'm looking for lots of opportunities and I'm trying to look for the ones that are winners and I'm trying to mitigate my risk knowing that I'm going to lose on 80% of the deals, 90% of the deals. Right.
That's the key. I just look at places like Detroit and other places that had somewhat of a renaissance. They've got these champions who are funneling money in, local people who are funneling money locally in. There are times where I just feel we haven't hit that critical mass where we've got enough champions with resources, enough committed to blowing 80% of it to get long-term success. But I mean, those are stories that are happening all over the country, just not quite yet in Tucson. Maybe, I mean, I've had Fletcher McCusker in the seat that you're in, and I think he's one of the closest figures that I'm thinking of like a Dan Gilbert in Detroit. I think like a Fletcher McCusker is probably one of the closest that we have to that kind of a picture in Tucson. I've said that for a while, but just those are some pieces that I'm waiting to kind of come together.
Yeah, I think it's always challenging when we look at other cities. Like for a long time, everybody talked about the Boulder thesis.
I haven't heard the Boulder thesis in years.
In Tucson, there was lots of people talking about it.
In a year, I haven't heard the Boulder thesis.
Great.
I heard it every week for years.
Right.
And then like last year,
they stopped.
Yes.
Right. It's because we don't have what Boulder has. We don't have a bunch of university personnel and a bunch of high-tech personnel who don't have, they're really frustrated in their corporate jobs and want to start companies and a bunch of money sitting on the sidelines. The Sonoran thesis is going to have to be different, right? It's a different You have to take what we have. So if you look at a place like Detroit, or even we go to Kansas City, the Kauffman Foundation is great, but Kauffman's a ton of money. Hallmark's
Kansas
a ton of money.
Kansas City's blowing up.
Right. There's a bunch of old companies that have old money.
It's the Austin story, too.
Right. And they're like, hey, how do we get into this new thing? And Detroit, even if you look at Detroit, it's a combination of really low-cost real estate and resources as the city just went completely down. Mm-hmm. And a bunch of old money. I mean, the auto industry made a lot of people rich, and they're still living in the region.
Right.
So, you know,
interesting.
What's the old money in Tucson? Right. The old money would be maybe some successful ranch families. Maybe.
Yeah.
You know, it's folks who sold a couple of, there's a few people who sold some companies here, but really, if you look at it, we don't have those 100-year-old, 200-year-old, large pots of family and institutional wealth that are sitting here looking for a way to transform their region because they bet on it 100 years ago.
Right. This is interesting.
We're still young and scrappy.
We're still
in the grand scheme of things.
Young and scrappy and gritty, and I love it.
Right.
But
that's what we have to, that's our strength, right? We have to play to our strengths.
Yeah, agreed.
So we look at all these other cities, we're like, well, how come we're not San Francisco? Well, okay, there's a whole set of things there. How come we're not Austin? Well, there's a whole set of things, right? So what are we?
Right.
What can we do? What we have is a lot of brilliant inventors, engineers, scientists. We have all kinds of people with ideas who don't have any way to get to market.
Right.
We need to try to figure out how to build a culture that encourages those people to take the steps that they would take in some place like Silicon Valley, which is find two co-founders, go get investment, start giving up the percentages to move forward on these highly scalable companies.
Right. Let's pivot there in our second segment.
Excellent.
Let's talk about the Sonoran thesis.
Okay.
I'm going to land
on the Sonoran thesis.
That's
right.
We might have just started something
We're just going to create it.
We're
on
just going to create it. It's called the Sonoran thesis. I'm actually all about this right now. We'll talk about the Sonoran thesis. We'll talk about how we answer the question you just asked, and then dive into successes that our ecosystem has had and the opportunities for growth that you see. We'll take a macro approach and that way. And by the time we're done, we'll have solved the entire problem. We'll have the Sonoran thesis mapped out and we'll be ready to go. Looking forward to my conversation part two with Tony Ford here on 1030 The Voice. When we come back, let's go visit some great sponsors. Don't go away. Tucson, welcome back. And welcome back to my conversation with Tony Ford, the CEO of Magnitude, a business development, media creation, and digital marketing company. It is the latest iteration of Tony Ford awesomeness, but it is in a long line of not only personal business success, but also a catalyst in Tucson for the innovation and startup and entrepreneurship economy. And if you think that was an overblown, exaggerated introduction, go do some research on Tony Ford. You will find that is probably the most accurate description I could have for this guy. It's a pleasure to be in the studio with you today, batting around ideas about how do we capitalize on our strengths as a community, as a region, to see the entrepreneurship, innovation, and tech growth and expansion in our community that I think we sense is possible, but how do we get there is always the question. We landed on accident on a phrase that I kind of want to kick
play
off.
Play with the Sonoran thesis?
Play with, right. So we were talking about the Boulder thesis, which was for, I don't know, maybe a decade, kind of a founding document of how cities, how communities
came from a book called Startup Communities, I mean, everybody kept saying that this was the blueprint.
The blueprint
somehow, right?
That was the word I was going to use. This is the blueprint. You do X, Y, and Z and A, B, C and 1, 2, 3, and you will have a startup ecosystem in your community. And I didn't think about this until you mentioned it, but I heard that phrase maybe daily for a while until about a year ago, and I haven't heard it.
It's because it's not
since
even working in Boulder anymore.
Well, we'll talk about Boulder another day. But you said it wasn't ever going to work, and it was not going to work in Tucson. We need to have a Sonoran thesis.
Right.
And I went, oh, yeah, let's talk about that. So the Sonoran thesis, in your mind, what is the Sonoran thesis for how Tucson grows its innovation ecosystem?
So there's a couple things that I want to lay out that are foundational in just before we get too far down the rabbit hole, right? So The research, and again, this comes from the Kauffman Foundation, who you know them. They do all kinds of entrepreneurial research. Since 1977, 100% of the net new job growth in this nation has come from high-scaling technology startups, 100%. I know that sounds crazy. Go look it up. You'll find that it's true. Small businesses tend to churn and stay small. They're family companies. They might have a few employees. They're under 30. They just kind of stay the same.
Drive a lot of GDP.
They drive a lot of GDP, but they don't create net new jobs because they start and they sell and they start and they sell and they close and they fail. And they just kind of stay the same as a driver in the economy.
It's an interesting distinction.
So yeah. I know we talk about small businesses are driving the U.S. economy. They are. They're just not driving the job growth. Big companies downsize. Look at what Ford is doing. They're going to replace a bunch of management. Then they're going to replace a bunch of manufacturing jobs with robots. Then they're going to replace human capital with physical capital. That's over and over and over again. They've got to drive down costs to maintain profit growth. So the only place that net new job growth comes from is highly scaling startup companies. And those are technology facilitated. Look at the job growth in Tucson, right? Right now we're talking about, hey, Amazon's bringing a distribution warehouse. It's Amazon. That's what's driving the job growth, right? If you look at the job growth...
For now, until they automate.
Until they automate. Yeah. And then it'll go... As they get big enough, they'll start automating, right? Yep. So there's this sprint where you have job growth. So when I talk about startup culture in Tucson, I love small businesses. I'm a small business owner.
Yep, same and same.
They are absolutely vitally important. But if small businesses want more customers who have money, we need to create rapidly scaling high growth startup companies. Those are technologically facilitated. So if you're a dog walker, cool, I want to support you in your business. But if you're a dog walker who's going to go out and compete with the other dog walking apps and do this nationwide and funnel money back into Tucson, that's the thing we need to support. So that's the first thing. That requires a mindset shift of the entrepreneurial ecosystem in Tucson, because we have a lot of people who are startups as lifestyle, startups as lifestyle businesses, startups as small entrepreneurs. But they aren't, we have not created a culture of forcing people to think, how do I build a $50 million company? How do I build a $100 million company? How do I build a $1 billion company? That we need to start there, because otherwise we're not going to have the job growth impact. We're going to keep cycling through and we'll replace 20th century businesses with 21st century businesses, but they'll all be small businesses.
Right.
Right. So that, just understand that when I say the Sonoran thesis, when I'm coming at it from that point of view, right? And then it's from there is, what do we have in the toolbox that can be used to disrupt globally existing businesses? We have expertise in the toolbox. We have expertise in sustainability and defense. Let's just be fair about it, left and right. Okay?
Yeah.
People, either side doesn't like the other side of that, but we have expertise in sustainability and defense. We have expertise in biotech. We've proven that in this community, right? We have expertise in mining and minerals. And we're sitting... You know,
that was my first hour.
Did you know 25% of the silver that was ever produced in the history of the world came out of Mexico?
No.
Yeah. Like, just south of us, we have a vast gem and mineral show here that we just take for granted that is the biggest in the world. Why have we never built a permanent gem and mineral space here for people to set up year-round? Why have we not created gateway trips to Mexico? Why have we not focused... There are millions and millions and millions of dollars of gems, minerals, and cash that change hands in this city every February, and we just ignore it like it's this thing we should take for granted because we deserve it. That's insane. We should take what's in the toolbox and build it out, right? So mining and minerals space, we've got two or three companies
World
now focused
view.
On space. Worldview, Vector Space, right?
Right.
We somehow managed to get a toehold in the commercial space industry. We need to be telling that story, bringing more people here, pushing harder in that, right? Yeah, there's going to be failures. It's not going to go right. Things are going to be odd. Whatever. That's the startup business. So look at what we have in the toolbox. Find the inventors. Change the culture to think about $50, $100 million, $200 million companies. And then take those inventors and get them out of their own way. Mm. Put the business people and the finance people and the marketing and the media behind them. Create a culture of economic alignment to go push and bring in the capital and get some wins. We only need a few winning horses and everybody wants to bet.
Right.
Right.
So if that's at least a huge chunk of the thesis,
yeah.
What areas do you see some recent successes in Tucson, and what are some one or two things that we need to do to push in that direction you're talking about that we haven't pushed yet?
Yeah. So you had Hexagon in earlier, yes?
I did.
You just acquired a company. Hexagon's growing like crazy.
By the way, if Arizona was its own country,
yeah,
it would be the second most producer of copper in the world.
Right.
That's what I heard for the first time last hour, speaking of things that are in our region that we have that we don't think about.
And I know that because Tucson's a blue city and a red state, there's all this kind of discussion about mining, right, and environmentalism. But if we combine sustainability and mining, mining and high tech, mining and smart technologies, you can improve the impact.
This was my point in the first hour, and I kind of tiptoed around it a little bit just because that was my first conversation around the mining issue, is that the progress in sustainability and ecology around mining would blow your mind.
Yeah.
And no one's talking about it, and it's not fair to the conversation.
Right. And those technologies will become important everywhere else in the world. So yes, we're more regulated than, say, China when it comes to mining. It's a matter of time. There was a time when every person in China just wanted a bicycle and a sewing machine, and now they all want an SUV and a color TV. It's just a matter of time until these types of environmental protections, as societies develop and become more educated and more people rise up in overall earning, they want to protect their landscape as well. So these can be disruptive technologies. So, you know, we're not doing hackathons that are mining focused. We have general ones that lots of people, you know, somebody like Hexagon or somebody else, why aren't we bringing in everybody who's doing crazy mining stuff and spending a week developing technologies, then taking the best of the best and partnering them with business people to get started? You have to look at things like that. Defense, we deal with the border, and we have Raytheon here, and whether you're left or right, that's a big part of our economy, and we need to think about defense and policing and security. Those are technologies that we have people in the county right now who know the problems, who understand the solutions that need to be built and have the technical skill to develop them.
Right.
And there's certainly a large industry there.
And by the way, I would also say that these are not drums that either of us bang on a daily basis.
No, they're not.
We're not defense guys. We're not mining guys. We're not out on street corners banging these drums or trying to promote this, that, or the other. I think we're just having an objective look at these are things in our region that somehow we don't at least have the conversation of 1 + 1 = 2.
Sure. There's two things I'm also going to point out to you that most people don't think about in Tucson as resources. We think about some people call them winter visitors, the snowbirds, right? The fastest growing age demographic in Tucson is over the age of 60.
Yeah.
Okay. Healthy aging and wellness is an industry that is about to explode. And you have a captive audience in Tucson that is perfect for market research to understand how the rest of the country buys. We're sitting on billions and billions and billions of dollars around aging and wellness that is so easy to develop. And here's another one that no one thinks about. Did you know that the veterinary animal health sciences, large animal sciences industry in the United States is bigger than the rest of the world combined?
Mm.
You start talking about ranching, livestock, right? These kind of things that we used to be cattle, copper, right? That was the whole Arizona thing.
Right.
We just ignore that. We say, cowboys, that's the 1800s. No, there's a ridiculous amount of money in that industry.
Mm.
And there's a ton of innovation that needs to take place there and disruption, both when it comes to animal welfare and efficiency and health and traceability and trackability. We're sitting on all of these industries that we have the ability to tap into.
Yep.
And that's not before we even get to tapping into south of the border. If we think about ourselves as a region and not just a state,
right.
There's a ridiculous amount of money that can be made as Mexico continues to develop. It's the fastest growing middle class in the Western Hemisphere, and it's right down here.
Yeah.
And again, we take it for granted because people come up and shop on the weekend and we think that's what it is. But it's so much more than that, and we're not tapping into
it. It's a mega region.
We don't think about Tucson as what we have in the toolbox. We think about all the other toolboxes around the country that we'd like to admire and be like.
I love that. That was the money statement there, so to speak.
Right.
It's interesting. I had a friend of mine say, you know, we hype up our landscape and our mountains and our hiking and our weather. Why hasn't Tucson produced one of the top five outdoor activity startups in the country or in the world? Why hasn't that happened yet? And it just speaks to what you were saying, is we have all of these, you know, we talk about clusters and focuses of our, we have all this that we're sitting on, resources that we already have that we don't tap into. Mm-hmm. And it might come back to how you started, and that there's a scarcity mindset.
Well, I think what I've seen,
even when you were saying those numbers of like those high growth startups, I had to, and I feel like I'm a pretty what if big thinking crazy guy. I had to like check myself because I'm like, well, those numbers will never be a part of Tucson's story.
Right.
And I'm ashamed to tell you that.
They absolutely will. I can tell you.
Oh, I believe that.
We partner with a startup here in town. Partnered with a startup here in town 6 months ago. And this has to do with the solar eclipses. And we're going to do $50 million in sales or close to it in Argentina next month. And some portion of that money is going to flow back to Tucson mm-hmm. because there's investors in Tucson, right? So that's a six-month window to $50 million. That's crazy. But if you look around, I think what's happening is people who live in these industries, they find a niche, they find an opportunity. When I talk to people in gems and minerals, they go, oh, I found this thing, and this thing can make me $2 million, and I can be done. And so because we have experts and we have industries here, we have these little kind of pops of personal wealth as people, but we haven't built the culture of, I want to build a $100 million company and employ a bunch of people.
Yeah.
Right? And that's not for everybody, but who are those people who want to do that? Put them together in groups of three, four, mm-hmm. five around industries and go solve problems. Because that's, if you really want to change the economy, that's what it's going to take. Is people moving from, I want to retire with $5 million to, I want to build a $50 million, $100 million, $200 million company.
And how do we take the probably dozens of students out of the number three entrepreneurship school in the country who are here every year, 9 months out of the year, how do we keep them here?
Yeah.
And make sure that they're not just falling in and out of our campus. There's one area that we didn't hit on, mm-hmm. but we are at the time that I proposed to you in the beginning. Do you have to run? Or could you come back for
a few
minutes?
I'm good for 15 more minutes.
Are you good for 15 more minutes? Okay. I want to talk about and get your view on one thesis that is out there is that to get where we want to go, where we're talking, you have to have the public sector on board, the private sector on board, and the university on board. And I know the university probably fits under the public sector umbrella, but I want to pull it out and talk about a three-legged stool and get your thoughts on how that collaboration is going and what energy may need to be put in different areas to drive the train forward.
And I want to change the metaphor because the stool's passive, but we'll talk about that when we come back.
Hey, the stool, it's so yesterday. Tony's going to up the Sonoran thesis, no more stools. We are breaking ground here on the Creative City Show with Tony Ford, the CEO of Magnitude, a business development, media creation, digital marketing company, but really even more big picture, a catalyst and has been for years in this city for innovation and entrepreneurship and doubling down on the assets and resources we have as a wonderful community to reach our future. That's how we're going to close out the hour after our break here on 1030 The Voice. Let's go visit some sponsors and then finish out the conversation. Don't go away. Tucson, welcome back. We are rapidly closing in on the end of what has turned out to be an hour interview with Tony Ford. But is anyone surprised? Oh, man. Great conversation about startups and innovation and technology in Tucson. And how do we have a Sonoran thesis, right? Just to summarize that, so many times, not just our city, cities have a bad habit of trying to compare themselves to other cities and copy those models when cities are in many ways unique, and certainly our city and our region is maybe one of the most unique.
Absolutely.
And so we veered off into the Sonoran thesis. What are things that we need to be doing specifically as Tucson or tapping into as Southern Arizona to get where we want to go as a innovation and entrepreneurship hub that we know it can be. And I asked Tony if he wouldn't mind in this segment going into that I think that there is a, and he's going to destroy my metaphor, and
I'm just going to shift it.
But I mentioned like a three-legged stool. Yeah. You got to have the public sector involved, the university involved, and the private sector involved. And, you know, and what I mean by that is if you've got an innovative mayor and council that is voicing this, and a university, but the private sector, businesses are not behind it, investment's not behind it, you're going to have great conversation all day and it goes nowhere. If you've got the private sector and the university around the Sonoran thesis, but the public sector just isn't even thinking about it or is ignoring it, you're going to have a community that's going two different directions at the same time. So you got to have all three aligned. And that's my stool thesis.
Yeah.
So change my metaphor, challenge my thesis. how we're going to close, Tony. How are we doing? So, do we have alignment? Where do we need to go?
Metaphorical reasoning is tricky because it creates limitations in how you can view the situation. So a stool, think about just for a second, if we talk about a stool, right?
Yeah.
That assumes, it presupposes that the government and the large private sector and the university are the support foundations of the economy. And they're not necessarily the support foundations. I'm going to talk about going on a limb and saying some opinions that may not be popular. One of the problems one of the problems we see in Tucson, I see, is that because it's warm here, and this is where people would go to retire, we have a lot of people who retire in place.
Yeah.
They stay at their job and they continue to earn their salary.
Hmm.
And they're not necessarily the people who would want to drive anything forward or make any significant changes. That can be in all three locations. It can be in the private sector, the public sector, and the universities. We're looking at those as these three categories. And the idea that we somehow have to get these gatekeepers to approve of what we're doing before we can move forward, or support what we're doing before we can move forward, I think holds us back. So I'm going to change this all up and say this is a parade.
Okay.
And what I found in Tucson is if you start marching down the street with a flag flying and you start doing, you bring in a couple friends who can play music and you got a parade, once you prove it's a parade, all those other organizations will fall in behind you. So we need to, nobody in Tucson, and I have great friends at the university and I love some of the things they're doing. I have friends in the private sector and I have people who work in government, but nobody in Tucson needs any of those people to be successful. Tucson is just a place that you operate out of. You can go get capital, you can build companies, you can build businesses, and it's, I always joke, it's kind of like a prison economy. The guy with the extra roll of toilet paper has a lot of value in the prison economy. The person who has outside money, outside credibility, outside sales is the king of this town because it's so insular so often, right? So you go build a company that does $2, $3, $4, $5, $10 million a year in sales that not a single dime comes from Tucson. Guess who will line up to support you and take credit for it? In some cases, the fellow private sectors, the university, and this and the local government, both city and county, they'll trumpet you. They'll release press releases. You don't need to wait for permission to build a successful organization.
Right.
You just need to go do it. And if that means you're flying to Silicon Valley, or you're, you know, I've got 2/3 of my company right now is down in Argentina. And guess who really wants to talk to all of these companies in Tucson about opening up potential? The government of Uruguay. We had a great meeting with the government of Uruguay. They have a tax-free zone that we can get access to the entire Mercosur and not pay taxes for services, software, all kinds of things. They sought us out because we were down there doing business, right? The rest of the world's a different play. It's not pushing against a wall. It's people inviting you in who want to economically align. So
right.
I guess what I'm saying is, yes, it's important those things together come together in the community, but they will trail. They will always trail because they are not innovators. Big private sector, their job is not to innovate. They have to do some of it, but that's not their job. The university is research and education and the intellectual heritage of our city, but they're not necessarily in place to innovate. And certainly government's not in place to innovate. It's in place to regulate. So waiting for them to somehow give us committee permission is the wrong move, in my opinion.
Right. And it might be valuable to clarify that I wasn't coming at it from the approval or like the permission needs to happen first. Yeah. Just that there is a culture that can be set. There are certain bully pulpits that are available. Mm-hmm. There is a drum that can be beat. There's collaboration that can happen that only benefits the ecosystem. Mm-hmm. And I think when you don't feel those things there, you really feel it.
Yeah. I love the support that we've received, you know, over the years in the startup ecosystem from all of those entities. And I think it's great. But I also feel like so often in Tucson, there's this expectation of, what is you know, the people in charge think? What are the people who are running certain foundations or institutions or organizations think? Maybe if I can have, we joke about it all the time, and we'll just bring it out on the air, folks. We joke about that Tucson is a city of conveners. We love to convene. We'll convene a 500 people to talk about the ecosystem. We'll convene 5 committees to talk about the committees. A meeting is not an action. And one of the things that we have to drive as the people driving the ecosystem, you and me and everybody else listening, is what actions are we taking today? What are we going to do? Go raise money, go launch a company, go put up an ad, go build a website, go put up a landing page. You can do 10 things today that will tell you whether or not you can make $100 million by next week. You can start testing your scientific assumptions about a business or a market or a product or a service. But going through the motions of lots of organization and mitigating risk and lots of structure and lots of discussion and lots of planning and everybody's rich on Excel, it's a waste of time. It's entrepreneurship, and we need to get past that. We need to just start doing things. And so the reason I'm not as involved in the startup scene lately is because I'm not just doing stuff, right? I'm finding partners and I'm just doing things. That's keeping me very busy. But I know that if we're going to change the economy, we just have to start doing it.
Right. So if someone is listening, let's close this way, from one of those sectors, let's say, and are not in the position to just go out and do it, like you said, again, no approval needed, no permission needed, but as an application for us listening, what are some things we can do to support those high growth innovators and opportunities and technologies in Tucson.
So if you're in one of those entities that doesn't have the ability to just take action because you've got a boss and a committee and a chair and a dean and a this and a council and whatever else, right? I understand you can't move as fast. You're not in an agile organization. Refer that person to somebody locally who can do it, or some team locally, or send them to a Startup Tucson event, refer them to the Founders Institute, send them to a private company, do whatever you got to do, but don't let that person languish while you're stuck in the bureaucracy, because it becomes a weight around that innovator's neck. It's not helping. And if you can support them within your organization, cool, run it in tandem, run it in parallel, right? But at some point, while you're working through your process, they can be out doing things that prove or disprove the market, and you just got to get them there as fast as you can, knowing that they're going to disprove it 9 times out of 10. They're going to fail. You got to get them there fast, cheap.
Right.
Right?
Right. Yeah. So 3 minutes left. Quickest pathway to a unicorn.
In Tucson, I think the space and mining are the two companies that are two sectors that are unicorn sectors. The fastest path, I know biotech is a huge thing. Lots of people like to invest it. The Arizona tax credit gives you an advantage if you invest in biotech versus other types of companies. And biotech is a 15-year, $100 million binary outcome for most situations because of the FDA regulation approval process. Software, software as a service, software, 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 right? Yes, hardware is cool, and I think mining software, privatization of space software. We have to keep thinking software.
Got it.
That's not dying anytime soon. Artificial intelligence, machine learning, there are things that are getting built right now in backyards and in university labs that are potential unicorns today. If we just get them out of the garage and out of the street and start pushing them towards a business outcome.
Right. So Sonoran thesis, come around those clusters, focus on pulling that out of the U of A, help those ideas scale more quickly to get funders, and it's okay if they're out of state, to fund those ideas, get that critical mass going, get a couple of those unicorns happening, keep some more in our small endeavors as well as a foundation, and we'll be good to go.
That and just one last thing. We keep saying, well, we're not Phoenix. No, we're sitting right next to Mexico, and we're not taking advantage of that.
Yes.
We need to think regionally.
Yep.
Not just the state border or the national border. We need to think about the economic region and continue to hammer away at that.
Yep. Well, I've been talking about the mega region on this show. I'll keep talking about it. I've had Consul Pineda on the show. I've had Stephanie Bermudez and Herman Urrego on the show. There's some things happening. We need to tell those stories. That was an encouragement to me a little bit back in the day of, we don't have a storytelling mechanism in our community. This is not the full answer. It's a piece of it. I'll keep doing that. It's a good start. I told you we were going to solve this. We have our Sonoran thesis. We nailed it at the end. We have the recording to go back. We've got our blueprint, and we have you to thank for it.
Hey, I appreciate you bringing me in today so we can opine on what could be.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Hey, and
go do stuff.
And it's going to happen. We're going to go do stuff out of it. Tony Ford, thank you so much. Congratulations on the success of Magnitude.
Thank you.
And we're going to keep you roped in on the startup ecosystem as well, because we need you here. Thank you, Tony. If you missed any of my interview with Tony and it went the whole hour by surprise, kvoy.com/podcast is your way to hear the full interview. Great conversation, smart guy, passionate about our city. Tune in. We are not done by any stretch here on 1030 The Voice. I will be handing the baton off to the Buckmaster Show, the Bill Buckmaster Show, at the noon hour. And we'll be back to do this all over again tomorrow, 10A to 12P on 1030 The Voice, as we tell the stories and strategies of people and ideas shaping Tucson's future. See you tomorrow.